Overview of the history of the Mayan. Now, this is going to be a new series. It should be pretty interesting because we're going to be looking at the history, the social background, the religion, and all sorts of different things. And also, some of these shows may be very long and some of them may be really short because I don't want to confuse everybody with a long series of Mayan names and get the confusion going. So I'm going to try to break these up. So sometimes there may be one short one. I might put two short ones up on one particular time and we'll move along. Now, part of this is, how in the world do you get to this? Now, I put this off because I've taught Latin American history for 27 years. I was actually hired for my first job, and actually the only high school job I ever held, taught there for 30 years at Park Hill, because that foreign exchange program they had just started with a school in Honduras, and they thought it would be good for the American students to have some background on Latin American history. Well, of course, I go in and get my new job, and I ask for the textbook, and they have this little yellow book that is basically Latin American history after the Spanish have completely taken over, and it's just countries in the 1800s, independence movement up to modern times. It's just terrible. But I didn't have a choice in picking it, so I had to deal with it. And it really did not do a very good job of teaching Latin American history because it completely excluded the pre-Columbian period. And so I asked permission if I could make some changes, and they said you can do pretty much whatever you want to do. So I ended up creating my own text, going all the way back to arrival of early man in the North American continent and in the Mesoamerica, and I managed to get all the way up to the independence movement, but most of it was spent on the Native American tribes, particularly the Aztecs, the Mayas, and the Incas, but also some of the smaller groups, which was kind of daunting because I had not had courses in that particular language, and so my pronunciation was a little tough. I had a couple of Hispanic students who used to laugh when I would pronounce the gods, and they said, "Mr. Packard, let us help you a little bit. It goes like this." And so I'm not too bad at it at this point. And I also had a friend who was a teacher at the University of Mexico. And I asked him, I said, what would be a good way of doing it? And I gave him my idea. And he said, that's what we would really like people to have, solid background in the Native Americans prior to the arrival of Cortez. And then, of course, the conquest and the independence movement, et cetera, et cetera. Because, as he correctly pointed out, you can't look at modern Latin American history without seeing the changes made between the Native population and the mixed population and the Spanish population in the past. So we'll be doing a lot of this. May be a while doing this. As a matter of fact, the note outline that I have for this has almost 90 different topics, and I'm sure there's subtopics that go along with it. Later on, I was able to finally find a book that was usable, and we used that. But for a while, I actually made my own and mimeographed it off, or photocopied it, as they would say today, with articles and whatever else. And we utilized that guide. It made it easy. Because one of the problems you have is if the students don't have a textbook and you want to go off the reservation and talk about something that's not in the textbook, well, they need to be good note takers. There's a lot of things that go along and you then want to be able to test over it. So I created a whole system where they received a sheet at the beginning of the day with topics, questions, identification, and then I went through that material normally and they would then take notes, and if at the end of the day they missed something, we could talk about it. So they would have that the study. So it is a very fascinating topic. It is a troublesome topic because we, unfortunately, a lot of the original works were burned by the Spanish. We have two Maya complete books, the Popol Vuh and, of course, the Chilin Balem, a couple of other pieces of books that we have. We lost the ability to read the Mayan script for a while, and finally we have a little better handle on that, basically due with the help of all people, Bishop de Landa, who was the first bishop of the Yucatan, who burned all of the Mayan literature because he believed that it was of the devil. And the legend has it that he had a dream one night, and God appeared to him and told him he was doing wrong, and his penance was to spend the rest of his life trying to find all the material. So he traveled around, wrote all sorts of things down in his book called Yucatan, Before and After the Conquest. Now, I'll tell you right now, if you go to Mexico and you go to Chichen Itza and your guide starts talking about de Landa, you're not going to hear any positives because he certainly was a terrible man to begin with. And Sherry and I actually went to Ash Wednesday services at his cathedral. So you have a strange mix. You have some of the old material, you have the Spanish accounts, and then you have everything that falls in between. And when you have a big gap in what took place and the explanation of what took place, this is just wide open for people to come up with all sorts of strange theories. As a matter of fact, when I first started teaching, this would be 1974, 75, 70% of the kids in my class believed that almost everything that the Mayans and the Aztecs and the Incas had done was actually done by extraterrestrials. Because this is the era of the Chariot of the Gods book by Eric von Däniken and a whole series of books that he produced. And it's our aliens from outer space thing. So I spent a majority of my time making sure that we straightened all of that out. And sometimes that's a little more difficult to do. But I have found a couple of videos that were really, really good. I found one where they actually had von Däniken and interviewed him, and then the scientists tore him apart toward the end. And by the time I was about halfway through my teaching career, that had pretty much changed. Unfortunately, we've gone back the other direction. We have more people who are going with the alien theories of all sorts of different things. So you have to keep educating, and when you slip up a little bit or there's a gap, then the crazy people will come out. Of course, when you ask them for their sources, they'll give people like von Däniken and others to go along with it. So it is a challenging situation. The other situation we have is this area has been just incredibly excavated. The change from 1974-75 to today in 2024, the amount of reconstruction, the amount of archaeology that's been done, more information comes out, and what was a good theory 20 years ago is debunked by new information as we go along. So you really have to keep up. That's one of the things that's pretty difficult to do. So you really have to keep reading and doing other things. And a good example of what I'm talking about is when we made this spring, we went to Mérida and we went to Chichen Itza. And I hired one of the best guides that you could hire. And we went out there and immediately was disappointed because he was excellent. He knew all the various things, but he was having none of anything that was in the past. It was all this new stuff. And it's typical sometimes that you find that the local people will counter all of the bad stuff, will then go the other direction. And so we would talk a little bit about why DeLanda's book is still valuable and other things. And one of the points he said was, you know, they always talk about they threw people in the well, but they've only found like one skull. Well, I have photographs of the excavation, and there's like 45 or something like that. So you'll have people who will then kind of manipulate it. I've seen this not just at Chichen Itza. When we went to Troy, now the gentleman we had there was excellent, but he didn't believe that it took place. But during his discussion, he actually gave background for why it actually took place 7 times. So we had a little debate on that one. So you really have to look at your information. Now I'm going to give you an example. This is the guideline. This is the bibliography that I used when I first started teaching and taught for the most part through the 27-year period. The Civilization of the Maya by Anaquin. History of Mexican Archaeology, Mexico Before Cortez by Bernal. In Search of the Maya by Brunhaus. The Maya by Coe. Indians of the Americas by Collier. Codex Nuitol, that's a surviving book. Chichen Itza by Folan. Maya by Gollenkamp. Outline Dictionary of Mayan Glyphs by Gates. World of the Maya by Hagen. A Guide to the Ancient Mexican Ruins by Hunter. Yucatan Before and After the Conquest by DeLanda. The Course of Mexican History by Meyer. Another book by the Maya, Popo Vuh. Then you have The Rise and Fall of Mayan Civilization by Eric Thompson. And he also wrote Maya's History and Religion. And then the last one we used was Mysteries of the Mexican Pyramids by Tompkins. And I used all sorts of other articles that went with it. Now at the end of this, I'm going to give you another bibliography, but that's the one that we'll be using throughout all of the rest of the series, because there's been new books that have come out, and there have been old books that are still perfectly valuable. You're going to really have a lot of material to look at, but I'm going to give it to you in little chunks. Now, I say that And the next show that you'll be listening to is entitled The Development of Mesoamerica. And this will talk about the different periods in Mesoamerican history. And this will go from the beginning when the people came in over the Alaskan land bridge. Now, I know some people say, well, it probably came from Africa too. The Native Americans have a specific blood type, and it does not have any AB in it. And so, therefore, you can track these people back to the area coming across from Siberia. Some people say, well, there's a community with the Polynesians. The Polynesians come in way too late. We have Polynesians on the island of Easter Island, but we don't see them come over in another direction. So then we get into the exploration, who's the first people here, which European showed up first. So you can really go crazy on this. This is one of the reasons why so many people like to do all of the aliens from outer space. You can take a picture and manipulate it. There's the famous Nazca plane pictures where the von Däniken would say, yes, you know, this is a giant landing field. But when you take his picture and you put a human being in the picture, his landing field is not very big. And so you can do all sorts of things like that. So we're going to do a little bit. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to try to give you some background information. Some of it is going to be shocking. There is human sacrifice. We'll talk about cities. We'll talk about all sorts of different things. I mean, when I did the class, we always did history and religion. And I had periodically have somebody said, well, you know, you're teaching paganism. I said, no, I'm teaching the religion of the people at the time. The Spanish will bring Christianity in, and then we'll talk about that. So it's quite an interesting background. Now, there are two parts of books, the Book of Spirits and the Book of Tiger, that would go with the Chilin Balem and the Popovich. And if you're looking at seeing what this would look like, if you go to my YouTube channel, which is the Bob Packett channel, Sherry and I do a traveling professor series, and we have been to Chichen Itza. There's two shows of Chichen Itza. There's a show on Uxmal. There's a show on Caba. And hopefully, in the coming years, we'll do all the other ones. So this is just a little background of what we're going to be doing. I can use these one a week, and you can mesmerize your neighbors with all sorts of different things. Now, as far as the working bibliography that I'm going to be using for this course, and this is what you will hear every time we have a show, The Maya by Cole, The Civilization of the Maya by Anaquin, The Popo Vuh, In Search of the Maya by Brunhaus, Outline Dictionary of Mayan Glyphs by Gates, Incidents in the Travels of the Yucatan by Stevenson. This is the gentleman who rediscovered the ruins. New World Archaeology by Scientific American, Aztec and Maya by Phillips, Yucatan Before and After the Conquest by Delanda, Rise and Fall of the Maya by Mayan Civilization by Thompson, and Maya History and Religion by Thompson. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.